live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for this edition of Sports Byline. Hope you had a good weekend. Nice to have you back with us. We got a great week of guests for you. Our producers have been really busy. If you're an NFL fan, then you certainly know the name Tim Green. Came out of Syracuse. Not only was he an outstanding player, but he's a pretty good author as well. Smart guy as well. And so he's going to be with us on the next Sports Byline. Dahani Jones will be here to talk a little football with you. And then Augie Garrido, college baseball is his sport. Wow, he's taken two teams. He took them to the College World Series. He's won five College World Series, just retired last year, but a guy that's been around the college baseball game for a very long time, and I find him very interesting. He is the ultimate teacher of baseball at the college level, and now that he is retired, I thought I'd like to have him back. I haven't talked to him for a couple years, but I want to get his thoughts about college baseball, how far it's come, and what might lie ahead for it. So Augie Garrido will be with us. And then if you're a wrestling fan, we got Terry Funk for you on Wednesday. And, of course, the NFL draft will be starting on Thursday, and no one better to talk to than Howard Balzer. And so he'll break it down for you, tell you what the teams might do, at least in the first round, and analyze what their needs are. So that's coming your way, and that'll be on Wednesday. And also a guy that you won't recognize this name, but I've known him for a long time, Steve Vucinich. And he is the clubhouse manager for the Oakland A's. Now, he's been around the sport and been doing that for about 50 years. And he has seen some great things. And these are the guys that they don't talk much, but they see an awful lot. So we'll spend some time with him as well. And then the great Rod Carew, Hall of Famer, will be with us on Friday. We're going to be talking in just a moment with Shirley Muldowney. If you're into motor racing, you certainly know that name. She retired after 30 years and is an NHRA Top Fuel driver. She was the first female driver to win a major racing championship, and she has a great book out. It's called Shirley Muldowney's Tales from the Track. And, of course, her movie about her life, which was called Heart Like a Wheel, was the first film about drag racing. And then the author William Pavlotich will be here. He has a book out called Green Bay Packers, Legends in the Green and Gold. So we're ready to crank it up. When we come back, Shirley Muldowney joins us on Sports Byline.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the annual Buy One, Get One Free sale at Ace, where you'll find amazing BOGOs throughout the entire store. Buy Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, get Scott's Lawn Food free. Buy a Roundup Pump and Go 1.33 gallon, get a Roundup Refill free. Buy Ace 20-pound Sunflower Seed, get 20-pound Wild Bird Feed free. Hurry in now to save big on these and many more Buy One, Get One Free offers throughout the store. Sale ends Sunday. Offers valid at participating stores. Scott's products cover 5,000 square feet. See store for details.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
It has been a while since Shirley Muldowney has joined us here on Sports Byline, and she has retired after 30 years as an NHRA Top Fuel driver, but she has taken the time to sit down and write a book, a wonderful book called Shirley Muldowney's Tales from the Track. And in the book, it says Shirley has spent her entire lifetime telling it like it is, standing up to the establishment and refusing to do anything other than in her own way. And that's exactly what this book is all about. Now, is this a tell-all book, Shirley?
No, of course not. It isn't all bucking the system, if you will. But, I got back a little bit here and there, and not everywhere, but it was a fun book. Again, it's like, little tales from here and there, back from the 70s and 80s, and I had some fun with some friends, but I think it's a very positive book. There is a lot of laughs, and there's some spots that some people I know may not like, but they'll get over it. They'll get over it.
Usually when an athlete sits back and reflects, they probably think about some things they hadn't thought about in a long time. So as you sat back to put this book together, and now you remember all the things that you thought about, what are some of the things that surprised you about your wonderful career?
Well, you think back and all of a sudden you remember. You'll excuse my laryngitis here. You'll remember things that happened. And after the text was completed, I thought, holy moly, why didn't I remember that? There is so much in my 42 years in the sport of drag racing. It would have to be a much thicker book than the Tales book. But I didn't have a lot of time with it. I had a new knee, and that took time away from the project. But I think the timing was right. It'll give the racers something to complain about over possibly the next race coming up.
I would also think, Shirley, also, that when you think back, were there more good times than there were bad times?
Oh, of course. There were. I had a wonderful ride. I will always miss it. I made, wonderful friends. Some of, 25 years ago that remain my friends today. Crew members that were with me 25 years in and back out of the sport and then back in again. I have a lot of nice tales to tell. I only wish I could have mentioned a good deal more people than I did.
When you think back on all of this, are you surprised at the path you ended up taking with your life? I mean, was this a path that you ever thought you'd go down?
No. It's shocking. Like I've said it before, I run into myself every day of the week when I'm out and about and doing my chores or errands or whatever it is I have to do. People know who I am, and I think it's the fact that they just like what I was able to do, drive the race car, and it's something that a lot of people wish they could do. But to say, to think back then in the late 50s and coming through the 70s and 80s that this was going to turn into what it turned into, I would have never guessed.
Let's talk about the roots. You mentioned about the 50s. Your love for racing began when you were a street racer back in the 50s. Take us all back to the beginning of Shirley Muldowney and racing.
I don't know if I can, but I was 15 years old. 16 years old, racing up and down the streets with Jack Muldowney. That's how I met my first husband, who remains my friend today. I think there's quite a bit about Jack in the book, and actually, he was our guest in my retirement year when we ran some match races at Englishtown, New Jersey, my favorite racetrack. And it's a very, very good track. So you can go in there and really run the numbers. And it's an event that we run every year. But Jack Saw was able to see his first 300-mile-an-hour come up on the board, to see it live. And the man was just overwhelmed. He cried. It meant so much to him. So, again, without him, I couldn't have, he taught me how to drive a car.
Well, usually a man would be threatened by a woman who can do just about anything and maybe even do it better than most men. What was it about Jack that encouraged you to go ahead and do this?
Well, we did it together as a form of recreation. We raced the car that we drove to work. We didn't have any money. We were just two kids. Took our little boy to the racetrack on Wednesday night in diapers, and again, it was a hobby. And I just took it to the next level, and then to the next level. And then I went into nitro racing in 1971 and never looked back. I did move out away from Schenectady, where Jack, where we, lived. I moved to the Detroit area and made a major change in my life. And I'm happy that I made that decision. But I'm very happy that Jack Muldowney remained my friend.
From the late 50s into the middle 60s, you raced all sorts of different cars, including some of the experimental ones. What were some of those experimental ones?
Well, a factory experimental car for Chrysler. And I didn't own the car. I drove it for a white-collar worker that was afraid to drive it. ran in the 11 seconds at 130 miles an hour. But you do that on some of the racetracks that we ran. You were actually at that time, at that speed, taking your life in your hands. So, it's now that the cars run 330 miles an hour, my fastest was 327. That's when you start to pay attention to what you're doing.
What were some of the early funny stories about your career, in your career? Well, what were some of the things that happened to you that put a smile on Shirley Muldowney's face?
Just too many to recall. Just the traveling back and forth, making the California tour every year and then the Northwest tour and, doing it on a shoestring. And the many things that we did to survive, funny and both funny and heartbreaking.
Such as?
It's just hard to settle on any one thing. But the only time I was upside down in all my years was in 1984. That was the big accident, and I didn't walk away, but I survived it and was able to go back and drive the race car again, so I could make a living. And that truly, a lot of good came out of that in terms of making the sport better for the drivers.
I want to also ask you about the early challenges you faced. When you're 16, 17 years old, you're pretty much oblivious to prejudice. But at what point do you remember the first time you were told no, you couldn't do something in this sport?
I don't even remember who said that. But a lot of people were for me, and I did have support, but not anything like the ladies have today. It's pretty much, the doors are wide open, and it's much easier for women if you have the wallet to go along with the desire. Then you're probably going to go places. But to go out and consistently win races and back it up with championships, that's a very tough thing to do. I don't even know how I did it. I'm glad that I was a hard nose and a little lady that would stand her ground. Most of the time I had to do that, and then there were times I was wrong. So I learned a lot. The sport gave me a good deal more than I gave it.
Well, I know you received a letter from the NHRA's technical director, Jack Hart, saying, and I quote, "You've never done anything that would entitle you to compete at a race as prestigious as an NHRA national event." Your reaction?
Word for word, yes. I think I still have that letter.
What was your reaction to that?
I flipped out. I was working as a little answer-the-phone clerk-type position at a newspaper, a Hearst newspaper in Albany, New York. And they as a group, the sports department, jumped all over that right from the beginning and backed me up with a major Sunday supplement cover to cover, and then backed up the fact that NHRA did issue me a license. Take it back, and then reissued it again, which, unknown to me, excluded me from national event competition. I only found that out is when I started trying to submit entry. So I had to win them over, which I did. They realized that I certainly was advantageous as far as attracting fans and women in the sport, and I could drive the race car. That's what they were afraid of. So once they realized that I was, you know, could get the job done, they relaxed their attitude and supported me from that time on. I can't say that they were always against me, because they weren't, just in the beginning.
Was that the best thing that could have happened to you, is to tell you no?
Probably. Yeah. Well, I just didn't know any better. I was just incredibly lucky.
And I might point out to people that she followed that up with a contact with Steve Evans, who told her, we'll accept your application to race at Englishtown. Just show up. We'll take a break. Come back on the other side. Shirley Muldowney is with us. We're talking about her book as we continue on Sports Byline.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
In the NBA playoffs, Toronto picks up a win, 118-93 over Milwaukee. So that means the Raptors now lead that series. They trailed early in the series, but they now lead the series 3-2. And boy, they were red hot from the field. They shot 58%. They hit a dozen threes, and they had a pair of 30-plus point quarters. Six Raptors scored in double figures. They were led by Powell. He had 25. Again, Toronto 118, Milwaukee 93. No games on the schedule in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Also in sporting news, Michigan linebacker safety Jabril Peters or Peppers, I should say, tested positive for a diluted urine sample at the NFL scouting combine back in March. And the report says that Peppers' agency said that the diluted sample was the result of sickness. Peppers, projected to go late in the first round, could see his draft stock slip as the result of the positive test. Three of the six mock drafts have Peppers going to the Steelers at number 30, while Will Brinson has the Packers taking Peppers at number 29. And positive tests come from a report about the Alabama linebacker Reuben Foster as well. That's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio Ella Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio Ella Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
Shirley Muldowney is with us, and again, you might want to check out this book. It's a wonderful book. It's called Shirley Muldowney's Tales from the Track, and we're talking about her career. Shirley, there are always stages in one's career. Talk to me about the first time you got into a high-powered car, race car, what that was like for you. Because, I mean, it's a little bit like learning to swim. You start at the edge normally. You don't dive into the middle of the swimming pool.
No, but I had a fair amount of experience before I jumped into a nitro car, being, you know, fuel, nitro methane. That's like horsepower in a can. If you have, I'll give you an example, if you have a 100-mile-an-hour car, you put nitro in it, you now have a 200-mile-an-hour car. That'll give you an example of what it's like to drive one of these things. But when I started out, they were running 200. I was the second, I remember my first 200-mile-an-hour pass. It was in a funny car, a dragster with that carries a plastic body that's some sort of a duplicate of a Detroit-based model. That'll give you an idea if you don't know what a funny car is. But my sights were set on a dragster, and the funny car at 200 miles an hour was something I treated as a stepping stone to top fuel. But when I ran, I was the second racer to ever run 250, over 250. Garlitz was the first. And the first to run 256, the first to run 257. I wasn't the first to run 300. Kenny Bernstein captured that title, and I think everyone has always been envious. But you know, the 300-mile-an-hour, once the fans saw it, all they did was, if they didn't see a 300-mile-an-hour come up on the board, they started yawning in the stands. So our fans are very, they know what's going on. They're very in tune with the sport. And they come to the races to see performance.
How much of going the speeds that you talked about is really driver controlled, and how much of it is mechanically controlled now by the computers today?
Well, we don't have computers that run the car. We just have, it's really a data recorder. You're not allowed electronics to begin with, so it's all in the hands of the crew chief and the people that work on the car. The driver just has to get it down through there from A to B and be on time and get it out of trouble if it wants to, not behave. That's the best way I can put it. So the drivers have to know what they're doing. But pretty much the performance and what you see comes up on the board is, it's I would say, the crew chief and the crew members. It's really in their hands.
I remember talking to you certainly about what happened up in Quebec, and everybody always points to something that's traumatic in one's life. Let me go back to what happened that day, and then talk to me, if you will, about recovering from that, both physically and also emotionally and mentally. But let's go back to that day in Quebec in the accident.
It was just an off day, and I was a victim of high-speed parts failure, had a tire failure. That's when we used tube tires, front of a dragster rubber, and the tube came out, did not leave the car like it normally did back in the 70s. It stayed with the car on the inside of the wheel and wrapped itself around the spindle and just took the steering away at 250. And it became so heavy that it just took the wheel out of my hands and dislocated or severed my right thumb at the same time. From that point on, it impacted into a embankment, and the car just miserably failed. it just disintegrated. So I, you know, I was really about 300 feet from impact when they found me. And then it was just a matter of 18 months later, a lot of rehab, a lot of surgery, a lot of staying close to home, crutches, there's you name it. I had to go through it in stages. But as it turned out, I was able to go back to the driver's seat and continue racing from 84 until 2003.
What got you through that?
Just knowing that, or at least hoping that I could go back and do what I do best.
I've often heard that when it comes to the highly skilled athlete, they are so disciplined mentally and emotionally and physically that when they deal with something like that, it's that discipline that really helps them get through that. Now, in this particular case, this was very, very serious, and I saw you some years after that, and I noticed you were limping at that time as well. And I'm just wondering, did that discipline of what you did, plus the drive and the love that you had for racing, all of that combined get you through it?
Well, I think it was a lot of things. You know, the people that supported me, certainly my husband, who, you know, was my crew chief throughout all my championship years. He nursed me actually back to health and put me in a position where I could go back and hopefully drive the race car and be as good as I was prior to the accident. There was just a lot of things involved with going back, and most of all, I wanted to. So I think that was the key, and having a light at the end of the tunnel gave me something to work for.
The other thing, too, is that I've often heard, and I being a pilot and flying jet aircraft myself at times, you always go through kind of a mental checklist. Did you, after that period of time or for a period of time, did you go through a list of whether you could have done anything else different, or did you understand because it was a mechanical failure, absolutely nothing else could have been done?
No, I was really a passenger. I'm not sure who could have held on to that because, you know, at 250, that is not a Sunday ride, and it was out of control. You must always do your checklist every time you get in the car, regardless. And you just never, ever, like I tell new drivers, don't ever get behind it. Always stay
in front of it. Yep, exactly. The same thing with jet aircraft as well. Any scary moments when you did go back and get into the cockpit of another car?
No. You know, you always have your problems. That goes along with nitro racing. It'll happen to everyone. You'll have your DNQs. You'll have your mechanical problems. You'll have your shrapnel at the end of the day. You just have to fall back and regroup, and you do that as a team. Not just the driver can't take all the heat.
One of the other significant aspects of your career was the 1983 film Heart Like a Wheel, and I remember the first time I saw it, it struck me, and I think what struck me about it, the realness of you as a person and what you were trying to do. How did that impact your life, both professionally and personally? Because I think what it did, it brought a lot of people closer to knowing who Shirley Muldowney was, both as a driver and also as a person.
Oh, of course it did. The movie was wonderful for me, wonderful for the sport. I would have changed it somewhat. there was, you know,
it was Hollywood.
There was Hollywood involved, but you know, I don't have any complaints. I don't have any horror stories. I was paid all the money that I was promised. I made friends because of it. It, again, helped the sport. And now that you mention it, it is that popular a movie.
Is it harder for a woman to get that backing than a man, as you think?
I think so. First of all, I couldn't tell you why. I really don't know. You know, I was a four-time world champion and still looking for and I'll leave you with this, still looking for sponsorship in the year before my retirement year, 2002. I looked my whole career for something that would exact the Xantrax 3 deal that came to me 2 years after I retired. I was floored, and I told them I'm simply not going to get in a car. That's it. I think I wouldn't want to take the luster off the send-off that we got. Last year, I ran my quickest and fastest. I was competitive. I made a difference in the world championships standings. It was something I wouldn't trade. I don't want to go back and look like Michael Jordan or anyone else that comes out of retirement a year later. You can mention countless athletes. I don't want to do that. I want to leave it just as it is.
You certainly did leave your mark after 30 years on the circuit. As she said, 4 championships, an AHRA and 3 NHRA. Congratulations, Shirley, on the book. Thank you for sharing the stories, and thank you for having the wonderful career that you did in auto racing. Thank you, Shirley.
I appreciate it.
Shirley Muldowney's Tales from the Track is the name of the book. You may want to check it out. It's a wonderful book. We continue across the country and around the world with you on America's Sports Talk Show.
Looking to break away this spring? Visit the sun-soaked bayside town of Tiburon, located just minutes from San Francisco. The Lodge at Tiburon is steps from the ferry docks and nestled among Tiburon's upscale boutiques, charming cafes, and unique galleries. Dine at the award-winning Tiburon Tavern, serving innovative dishes prepared with ingredients grown in our very own garden. Spring rates starting from $199 a night. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon and create long-lasting memories. For reservations, call 1-877-614-6068 or go to lodgeattiburon.com.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-816-0365. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year, Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale, with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents, pre-finished hardwood from just $1.19, bamboo from $1.39, get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents, limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents, and more, plus special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr. The sports franchises, each one have their icon. If you think about NBA basketball, you've got to think of the Boston Celtics, maybe the New York Knicks. When it comes to baseball, of course, the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Chicago Cubs. And I think when we talk about football, you've got to talk about the Cleveland Browns and certainly the Green Bay Packers. Well, there's a wonderful book out about the Green Bay Packers called Green Bay Packers Legends in Green and Gold. And the author of this book, William Pavletic, joins us on Sports Byline. First of all, William, what was the motivation for writing this, aside from the fact that you've been a passionate Packer fan all your life?
Thanks for having me on the show, Ron. I would have to say it was one of those things where there are a lot of great books on the Green Bay Packers and the history of the Packers. And, you know, they're either very detail-oriented, where they go into very minute statistics, which are fantastic books, or they're very vague, quick overviews of the Packers with a couple of pictures, and they say, hey, they won a couple of Super Bowls, and, you know, they used to be really good. But no book ever, you know, that I was able to come across was just a fun coffee table read that you could pick it up, read a couple sections of Packer history, kind of catch up, and then move along.
There is something that makes the Packers unique. What is that, William?
I think it's the tradition and the fact that the Packers represent the state of Wisconsin as much as let me start over on that. I would have to say that what makes the Packers unique is that because they are theoretically owned by the city, they are as much of the city is of them. And it's a very wonderful relationship where it's the Packers are so intricate in the magic that is Green Bay.
Does it also not reflect corporate mentality? Is that one of the things that makes it unique?
I would have to say Green Bay takes a lot of pride in its blue-collar heritage, and the Packers have always represented that. You know, in a lot of unique ways, and I think that's another reason why the bond between the city and the team is so strong.
I don't know that a lot of people, William, understand the heritage of this franchise and how it got started. Give us a history lesson on the Packers.
Well, basically, Curly Lambeau played college football at Notre Dame, and he ended up dropping out after his freshman year, and he was a high school football star in the local Green Bay community. And he came back home and he started working at the Indian Packing Company. And while he was there, club teams, you know, town teams were really popular during that era. And he basically asked the Indian Packing Company to kind of sponsor him and his team to, you know, sponsor them for the season. So they went ahead and sponsored him, and it kind of naturally fit that the Packers became the team name, being that they were the corporate sponsors.
You break this book down into different Packer eras. How did you determine which era you were going to talk about?
Well, it basically boiled down to the Packers are notorious for having very high highs and very low lows during their franchise history, and it was pretty easy to break it down. Basically, you had the high areas of the Lambeau era, the Lombardi era, and then the recent Mike Holmgren era, and then the lows are basically everything in between, and it was pretty easy to delineate the chapters in the book and also the Packer history.
Let's talk a little bit about the Curly Lambeau era, because that goes from 1919 to 1949. Tell me a little bit about that era.
Well, basically, Curly was the founder of the Packers, and he started them out as a town team, and then basically was able to finance a franchise into the newly formed National Football League in 1921. And it was one of those things where he was the driving force behind the team from day one up until 1949, where he was the coach, and he was also the quarterback for approximately 10 years, and then and led them to their first six world championships. And then in 1949, under a cloud of controversy, resigned to coach the Chicago Cardinals.
What was the controversy?
It's kind of a gray area, but it had to do with spending team funds for the Rockwood Lodge, which was the Packers training facility. And I think there was some issue with Curly spending some money, unauthorized funds, I guess you would say.
Next era was navigating through mediocrity, the lean years, which was between 1950 and 1958. And I suppose when you have somebody who's as dominating as Curly Lambeau was after that, and we saw the same thing happen with Vince Lombardi as well, that it was probably hard to follow up on that.
Yeah, and, you know, the Packers struggled financially, and the 50s is when the NFL as a league basically started finding their legs and really competing as a nationally recognized sport. And even though the Packers were, you know, succeeding as a franchise and being a part of the National Football League, financially they were struggling and just couldn't compete with the emerging franchises, you know, as the NFL moved westward, like with Los Angeles and the Cleveland Browns and San Francisco 49ers entered the league at that time. So it was just one of those things where the Packers had hit a lull with talent and competing for talent and competing with salaries.
As you know, William, everything kind of ebbs and flows and goes in cycles. And then the next one was the rise of Titletown USA, which was the Vince Lombardi era between 1959 and 1967. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, was he not an assistant coach with the New York Giants before he came to the Packers?
Yes, he was. He, ironically enough, was a coordinator alongside Tom Landry in New York with the Giants, which makes it really ironic how the two of them were common foes on the football field against one another in the 60s, especially the 66 and 67 NFL championship games.
How did he build that era of those successful teams?
Well, ironically enough, a lot of the talent that he inherited back in 1959 when he first started coaching the Packers was already there. And I really, truly feel it was his driving force and really inspiring them to overachieve that turned them from perennial losers into winners. He was able to replenish the roster with draft picks and the occasional trade, but for the most part, it was him as a motivator, I think, that turned them from a sub-500 team into world champions.
And the thing that I find interesting about that era with Lombardi, it was his way or the highway, but yet he did have some individuals there, because if you think about some of the players that were there that were individuals, it was hard for them to adapt to Vince Lombardi, but then there were other players who were like Bart Starr, who were very comfortable with that autocratic rule.
Yeah, and what I find most interesting is, it's in the years since Mr. Lombardi has passed away, his relationship with Paul Hornung has always been one of the most intriguing in my eyes, because by far Paul Hornung was the biggest rebel on that team when it came to following the rules. Paul Hornung was the one that would always sneak out and try and break curfew, and he obviously got in trouble for the gambling scandal in the 60s, but yet Lombardi treated him almost like a son and really, almost enjoyed what Paul Hornung represented, because it was the polar opposite of who he was.
Why do you think that was?
I couldn't even fathom a guess. I mean, maybe just the fact that Paul Hornung represented everything that Lombardi wasn't, in regards to kind of living by the seat of his pants, always looking for the good times in life instead of being disciplined and super focused. I mean, Hornung was the type that would skip curfew and then wander into a locker room without anyone knowing it moments before a game, suit up, and then have a phenomenal game. Whereas Lombardi was the consummate. He would always be practicing. He would always be, focused on the goals ahead, whereas Hornung was so much of a free spirit.
And that Lombardi era, for those people that might not remember, was 1959 through 1967. It was a relatively short era. Why did he leave?
I think, the unspoken word is he knew that the run was over. Basically, by the time the Packers won Super Bowl II, his team was a shell of what it was earlier in the decade, and he knew that he was no longer able to sustain that level of success, and he didn't want to taint his image. He wanted to go out on top. He also was interested in obtaining ownership in the franchise, which, based on the articles of incorporation of the Green Bay Packers at the time, said that no one individual could obtain ownership of the team. And that, I think, kind of soured on him, and he became the general manager after he stepped down as coach for 1 year. And I think he was just bored being the general manager, sitting up in a booth watching other coaches and players execute on the field, and he had no direct say in how the team performed or how they would execute plays on any given game day.
And, of course, he did come back to the sidelines with the Washington Redskins. That's where I got to know him as well, as a very young sportscaster at that time. And I'll never forget in the locker room after a game in which he had won his seventh game of the season, which guaranteed him a winning season. And obviously he could be very intimidating. And I asked him, I said, "Coach, how do you feel about having a winning season?" And he was very kind to me. He looked at me, and with that slight smile on his face, says, "If you remember correctly, I've never had anything but a winning season." Let's talk about the next two eras, life after Lombardi and grasping at greatness, because they kind of go hand in hand in a sense. Because anytime you follow a legend like that, it's got to be almost impossible. And I think that was what was really the hangover, was it not, of the Green Bay Packer years until they were finally back into the 90s able to get some excellence returning there.
Yeah, absolutely, Ron. Basically, the late 60s and early 70s were, I would almost say, kind of an era that the Packers are dealing with in regards to some of the great players are still around. They still have moments of greatness. They, you know, there's hopes that they can overachieve and, you know, achieve the success that they had, you know, been enjoying previously. But at the same time, there's obviously some rebuilding going on. And even though the team almost looks the same, they're not performing the same and starting to fall back into the mediocre teams of the NFL.
And the last segment you talk about, which is the return to excellence era, that was reclaiming Titletown 92 through 96. And interestingly enough, it also was around an outstanding quarterback, just like it was with Bart Starr. The same thing happened, of course, with Brett Favre.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, from the day Ron Wolf traded for Brett Favre, he basically said his hopes would be pinned and recognized on the arm of that maverick, gunslinging Southern Mississippian.
Why did he fit in so well up in Green Bay? Because he was almost, you know, as you said, an outsider coming into the deep north.
I would say the reason Brett Favre was able to succeed in Green Bay is because Mike Holmgren is known as a disciplinarian. I mean, I remember watching those games in the early 90s when Favre was, you know, just starting to learn the system and was thrown in because of a Don Majkowski injury. Favre was always very undisciplined, and I think Holmgren was able to reel him in and realize the raw talents that he had and form them into executing plays and being successful. And that was definitely something, from my understanding, that Jerry Glanville, when he was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, was not able to do with Favre when he was sitting on the bench.
I want to thank you very much, William, for joining us. It's an excellent book, and I'm going to recommend it to everybody. Thanks. Come back again and join us on Sports Byline.
Thank you very much, Ron. I appreciated it.
The name of this book is Green Bay Packers Legends in Green and Gold. The author, William Pavletich, joining us this hour on Sports Byline. And he has always been a Green Bay Packer fan. For him, this was a labor of love. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.
This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill.
Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another check of the scoreboard in the National League. All Chicago Cubs, they pounded Pittsburgh 14-3 with 17 hits. They had a five-run third. They were up 9-1 after three innings. Big bats. Addison Russell, a career-high four RBIs, and Hayward, a home run, and he drove in four runs. Again, 14-3, Cubs over the Pirates. In the NBA, a couple of finals for you. Toronto 118, Milwaukee 93. Raptors lead that series 3-2 now. Toronto shot 58%. They hit 12 threes. They had a pair of 30-plus point quarters, and six Raptors scored in double figures, led by Powell with 25. And Atlanta has squared their series with Washington, winning game number four, 111-101. Atlanta wins this one in the fourth quarter when they outscored the Wizards 34-24, and the Hawks win the battle of the boards, and they also hit a dozen threes. In NFL news, Adrian Peterson could finally have a home. The reports say that the former Vikings star could be closing in on a deal with the Saints that'll pay him $3.25 million next season. And while nothing's yet official, the two sides are moving in that direction, and it's unclear when those I's and T's will be crossed, but it is expected shortly. And that's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio alla Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio alla Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
Be sure to check out William Pavlicek's book about the Green Bay Packers. It's a very interesting read, and it'll give you some great insight about the history of the Packers. And, of course, Shirley Muldowney with us as well. Known Shirley for a long time, 30 years in racing NHRA top fuel cars, and she is somebody that left her mark on that particular sport, and deservedly so. Remember, you can hear Sports Byline USA on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, or WebOS phones on demand and on the go. So download it for free at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
This is Joe Spano.
And this is Bob Black.
The Spano and Black Attack, now on from 5 a.m. Pacific time till 7 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. The Spano and Black Attack, the best sports talk on the best sports talk network, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.